this, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If anybody's ever flown or taken flight lessons, you know your instruments are the most important thing you have. Maybe you hadn't done that. Maybe you've had to steer or navigate a ship on ocean's open waters. You ever wonder how that happened? You know, I'm thinking sometimes when I've been on cruises and places where I couldn't see land, how do they know how to get there? When you're up in the open skies, how do you know how to fly from here to Las Vegas and know you're going to make it? How do you know that? Well, I'm pretty sure there's some things you can see on the ground that kind of lead you in the right direction, but how do you know? What's that based on? And the reason why I say that is, it's definitely not based on feelings or what you think. Now, when you think about in the world today, you know, most folks live their life by five senses, where they can see, hear, feel, touch, and taste. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things, but there's something else that needs to be a part of our everyday life, and that's to walk by faith and not by sight. Going back to my original example, I wonder how many a pilot has been disillusioned. They were going the right way. They come into a whole group of clouds, and they don't realize that they're slowly spiraling down. It felt like they were all right. It felt like they were going in the right direction. It felt like they were still flying at 30,000 feet high. But things changed. They never took time to look at the instruments. They just felt like it was okay. The world is full of people in the religious world feeling like they're okay. Never take time to make sure, first of all, the instruments they're using are calibrated to God's instrument, the Bible. They feel okay. You can't tell them otherwise sometimes. And for those who have the instrument of the Bible and we see that they're going in the wrong direction, they're definitely not walking by faith. They have chosen to walk by sight. There are several scriptures in the Bible that tell us it's crazy to trust in your own heart or the mind. Proverbs 28:26 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Now that's a pretty strong word to say. But he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "Because the heart, human heart, is most deceitful and desperately wicked." You may say, well, my heart's not wicked, but is it calibrated? Are you using the right instruments? Because at some point in time, we have to learn to trust the instruments. When troubled times come, when there's times of uncertainty in our life, we need to learn to trust God's instruments. Now, Paul deals with something here that a lot of folks want to see what it's going to be like in there. He's talking about death and the transition. When he goes into this particular discourse in this letter, he's really talking about putting off an earthly house, but that not being the end. He's talking about a place or a tabernacle that's not made with men's hands, that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't taste, and you can't feel. But yet and still, it's still there. That's the spirit world that we have. The reason why so many folks are even confused about God, because they're trying to shrink him down to this same thing. There is, some people say, there is no God, because I can't see him, I can't touch him, I can't feel him, I can't taste him, and I can't smell him. So, evidently, there's no God, right, in many folks' minds. But are they trusting the scientifically proven instrument called God's Word? And the reason why I say that is because you know that even in flying and navigation, there are certain things that are essential. Now, I've never done either one, but I know a compass is so important. I know that. I know it's important to at least get you going in the right direction. I know there's other instruments they use, about elevation and cabin pressure and air pressure and all those other things that sometimes, if you ever looked in the cockpit of a plane, just makes your head hurt. But these folks who have trained themselves through their lives to fly planes and to navigate ships, they know exactly what these mean. They also know that it means they can't trust how they feel and what they think. You may say, well, Brother Parker, what are you getting at? I'm talking about the definition of faith. See, most folks' faith is based on stuff that they can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear. And if it doesn't meet that five-finger test, they say there's no such thing as faith. So let's talk about what is faith. Point number one, faith is not something we do contrary to common sense. You know, some people say you're taking a blind leap of faith. That's not the faith we have. There's no need to take a blind leap because God has already leapt for us. You know, when you think about faith, that's what they say, I'm just going to jump out there like I'm jumping off a cliff. Well, that's about to happen to you. But no, that's not what it's talking about, and that's not the faith that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We sometimes think of faith as everything contrary to reality and common sense. That's why many folks make mockery of our faith. But they say, well, you have faith. There's no way in the world. You are devoid of common sense. But see, faith goes beyond that. Faith goes beyond these things that we can see. Faith understands there's something else that's involved in the affairs of men. There's something else, even after we take our last physical breath, to let us know this is not the end. We know that. We can't see it on this side of living, but Scripture's told us that. We have examples of it. We even have Christ, who's conquered death. We don't need to doubt that there's a such thing as eternal life. We have too much evidence. But you say, where's the evidence? How can I read it? How can I touch it? How can I see this? That's not the evidence we're talking about. But contrary to popular opinion, it's not some mindless, fake, phony belief in the God they can't see and touch and feel for the most part. That's what most folks design their faith as. I recommend that you make sure that you watch this step. You need to put, and I need to put, faith into practice every day. Now, do we do that? Are we worried about just trying to see everything that's out there before us? We're trying to head off all the problems we're going to run into. We're trying to control and manipulate people so that we can control our environment. That's never going to happen. Now, how oftentimes do we waste wasteless time and energy trying to control everything? That's beyond that. We can control what we can control. That's what we can do. It will create an endless amount of frustration and anxiety and anger in your life if you think you have to control everything. If you think that that's beyond in your power. Faith has been contracted with works, as if we're living in an unreal world without pain, suffering, or without the daily chores that make life what it is. Some take this separation from the real world to be what God expected of them, and they subsequently seclude themselves from true faith. They end up withdrawing themselves from the world. Now, to put that in simple English is, some people really has no faith. They actually withdraw themselves from everything that God has created by his word. Now, you may say, well, how is that possible? When somebody lacks true biblical faith, everything is the end. You know, we see that in certain religions. They'll say, you know what? When we die, we just no longer exist. That's not true, family. If so, Christ would have told us. But we go on to exist somewhere. There are many folks out there in the world living their life foolishly by this fact. You know, I'm just going to do what I want to, because when I die, it's just going to be all over and I'll just cease no longer to exist. That is not what true biblical faith tells us. Matter of fact, it shows us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All means how many? All. Good, bad, indifferent, evil, in their minds perfect. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, whether you believe it or not. That's the reality. And then it says, for what purpose? That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's what we need to be hanging our hope up and preparing for. Because sooner or later, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And guess what? He's not going to take it as an excuse. Well, you know, God, I never felt you. I never touched you. So why do you expect me to believe in you? He's told us, because you have been flying. You flew by the wrong instruments your whole life. For many folks, that's going to be their excuse. But God, you know what? If you just walked in person, I'd have believed it. But he did with Christ. And he still didn't believe it. Well, I'd have believed you died, you know, if I'd have seen the evidence of death. Well, ask Thomas. Christ gave him that evidence. He said, blessed are those who don't have this evidence, who still believe in me. Thomas was able to put his hand, his finger, in the nail prints in his hand. He was able probably to gaze upon the piercing of his side. Think about that for a moment. He had no excuse. But we won't either. Faith is not only to believe, something to believe, but we must live by it. And that's the problem that we struggle with. We say faith just means believe. That's not true faith. Faith means that I am calibrating and lining my instruments up with what I believe in according to God's word. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. It's not even a discussion. What's going to guide me? And not just when I can see things and the skies are clear. I'm talking about when clouds surround you in life. Because that's the nature of life. There are going to be some times in your life where you can't even see what's before you. You're disoriented because life has a way of kind of knocking you around a little bit. Everybody ever done that before? I know it's happened to me before in a football field. You know, we laugh sometimes, and Nathan played football as well. You know, sometimes we used to make light of it when somebody got hit and go into the wrong huddle. I've seen it happen, I don't know how many times. They just get up and walk into the wrong huddle. Like, what are you doing here? You're not on our team. They don't understand. They just disoriented. That happens in life. And we used to like, man, he got his bell rung because he walked to the wrong huddle. Ha, ha, that wasn't funny. Now I know more about concussions. I'm just speaking for myself. That was not funny then. But life has a way of disorienting us. And if we trusted the fact that we can go into any huddle, we're going to end up in the wrong place. Then we have to learn to trust God's instrument. That's what it's based on. So let's look at some of the attributes of faith. First of all, faith is believing, but not just believing. It is acting and living by our beliefs. Our belief that God is still in control. Our belief that there is a God who says that we must serve him. If not, we're going to have to answer for it. I believe in God who says I don't need to fill my life with worry and anxiety. I can take my thoughts and my worries before him. I serve a God who says be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4:6. So anxious for nothing means I got no business worrying about things in this life the way I do. Because he said it. Now, if he said it and it was not possible, that would make God a liar and basically make us look like fools. If God said it, we must be able to do it, right? Now, we may need some help. We may need some growth. But if he says be anxious for nothing, then we ought to be able to do it. If he says we can walk by faith and stop trying to see everything, then we can do it. Because he sees it. He sees the end. He sees where you're going. He just says, walk with me and hold my hand. It's the same situation that we do sometimes with children. For example, you may be able to see way beyond what a 2 or 3 year old may be able to see. All they see is kneecaps. They can't see that far. All they know is that I'm going and mommy or daddy has me by the hand. So as you're guiding that little youth, you tell them where to step. You tell them to step up. You tell them to step down. You tell them to start running because they don't see that big stick in front of them, or that big thing, that obstacle in their way. You're telling them, you know, all these things that you're able to see because you're at a different viewpoint or vantage point. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve, and that's why we can trust him. He sees things from all angles. Now, somebody once gave me a very simple example to understand God's point of view. And they used this example, and I was like, okay, it don't make sense, but I thought about it, it does. I'm going to use you an example. Now, if you were sitting on the tallest building in Albemarle, do you really realize that in some minute way you could see both past, present, and future? What I mean by that? I mean that if a car's coming down the road, you're able to see where it's coming from. If a car's in your present right in front of you, you're able to see it right now. But you also know that 2 blocks down the road there's an accident based on your viewpoint. So you're able to say, well, car, you may not want to go, and there's an accident down there. They can't see it. But because of your viewpoint, you can see both past, present, and future in a very simplistic way. That's what God does for us. We don't need to worry about what the future holds. He sees it. We just need to trust the instruments. We don't need to worry about the thing. That's the opposite of faith when we live by sight. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God's call, God's promise, and God's plan. Now, if anybody had to trust the instruments of God, it was Abraham. Now, how many of us would have been, if we were in Abraham's position, if God said go, and you went? Those are the only instructions, was to go. Now, many of us, if we had cell phones and God gave us this, we'd have been trying to pull up GPSs. We'd have been trying to find out places to eat along the way. We'd have been trying to find places, hotels. God just told him to go. Can you see the faith of Abraham? That's why he's given the attribute of being father of the faithful. Now, he was not perfect by any means, but how many of you would have done that? But I can guarantee you in your life, there's been a situation where God just said go. And if it hadn't happened yet, just keep living. He's not going to give you any other instructions but to go. And you may say, well, I don't know where to go. I can't go nowhere unless I got all the plans. That's some people like that. They got to have everything laid out. Time to attend. I'm not saying that's not valuable at certain times, but I'm saying that puts a whole lot of pressure on you to control things you can't control. God understands these things. Faith also is obeying. There cannot be faith in God without obedience. How can we say we have faith in God and we don't obey Him? Let me tell you, church, that's impossible. It's impossible to say you have faith and won't obey. Because faith can move you to obey because you have faith. That's evidence that Scripture tells us of your faith. Not that we can earn anything by God, but the evidence of my faith is obedience. That's the evidence. That's the proof text. Because surely none of us can earn our way into heaven. Understand that. But we know that God has promised to us. And He says, if we obey and serve Him until death, then we too can have a crown of life. So what is our response? Well, I believe you, God, but I'm not going to obey you. Well, guess what? You're not going to make it. And guess what? You may even feel like you're on your way to heaven. Your feet may not touch the ground anymore. You got your nose stuck up in so high in the air that if it rained for 10 minutes, you drown. But that don't mean you're going to make it to heaven. Obedience is the proof text. There cannot be faith unless obedience is followed, belief is followed by action. But we have known Abraham, if he had believed God's promises and stayed in Ur? Nope. Would he be considered father of faithful? Would he done that? If you say you believe in God, then you must obey Him in living a life according to His will. Belief alone does not fulfill the requirement for living a life of faith. The Bible tells us that even demons believe. They know who God is. How many times you read it? Matter of fact, Mark 5 is a very vivid example of how these demons, this legion, knew exactly who Christ was. What have we to do with the Son of the Most High? We know who you are, Christ. So some people say, because I know who Jesus is, then I'm all right. You must obey Him. You must obey Him if you truly believe. So this walking by faith and not by sight is based on our belief in what the Bible tells us about serving God. Walking by faith means that I have decided to let go and let God. Just like it is, if I'm up, using my original example, if I'm trying my best to judge by the waves and how far they're going, and the fact that it seemed like last time I came this way, the sheep were leading a little bit to the left. So I know I'm going the right direction because I promise you it was leaning to the left, so I know I'm going home. No, you don't. How many times have you been lost like that? I've been this way before. You know, sometimes when pride kicks in and you may be going to a new city, a new destination, and men, mostly, don't want to stop and ask for directions. You know you've passed that street by 4 times, but it would kill you almost to stop and ask for directions. Why? Now, you've passed it. You even looks like you're going the right way. You felt like the first 3 times you was going the right way. But when it kicked in, why didn't you just stop and find true directions? It happens to us in life. We want to walk by sight so bad that it really does make our faith null and void. The reason why we won't act on our faith, the reason why we won't step and live our lives in the mindset of faith is because we're too busy trying to see everything. I'm so glad in my own life that God didn't show me everything I had to go through, because I never would have went through it. I'm so glad that when he said go, and sometimes in my life, and I just went, that if he told me what I was before me, I never would have went. Because some people say, well, you know what, God, I'll go if you just give me a roadmap. No, you won't. Because when you see it and understand that God has this in store for you, and that's a lesson to learn, when you see trouble ahead, when you see persecution ahead, when you see uncertainty ahead, it will cause you to freeze in your tracks. That's why God didn't always give us the whole picture, because that's the opposite of faith. It frustrates us sometimes to no end because we can't see the end of the story. That's what we want to be able to see. What I learned in my little short time on this earth, that's overrated, honestly. Because I might not even be seeing the thing I want to be, should be seeing in the first place. I may be seeing a distorted view because of my actions, because of the way my mindset is, because I don't want to go down that road in the first place. I see no value in it. If he'd have told me some roads I took in my life, I guarantee you I would have said, God, you know what? I understand what you're doing, but I don't think that's the right way for Curtis. I just can't see. Did you see what you had down the road for me 2 years from now? Did you put that in? Did you see that? I mean, you God, right? You saw that, right? I know you saw it. I know you saw that that was going to be a time in my life when I didn't have anybody to trust. I know you saw that. Well, so why would you take me in that direction? Why would you do that? And if he'd have showed me the whole plan, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And you wouldn't either, if you're honest with yourself. God sometimes allows these situations in life to help us to learn to trust the instruments. It happens in life. And as I said before, if it hadn't happened yet, just keep living. It's going to happen sooner or later. It's going to happen to the point where your vision is completely gone. It's going to happen when you can't trust your senses. It's going to happen when you can't figure stuff out yourself. It's going to happen when you won't question for why and there are no answers on this side of living. That's when you need to go back to your instruments. That's when you need to understand, well, God, I did my best to live my life according to your word. I did my best to calibrate my own flight path to your instrument. So guess what? I'm going to trust. I know you brought me safely through the last storm, so I know you'll bring me safely through this one. I didn't see my way out of the last problem. I saw no way around it, but I'm still here and standing. When everybody said I wouldn't make it, I'm still here. When the doctor didn't give me such good news, I'm still here. When my family turned my back on me, I'm still here. When the world turned their back on me, I'm still here and standing. When it seemed like I had no help at all, I had the greatest help I ever had in my life. That's the God that we serve. That's why we need to learn to live by faith. You don't say live by faith or walk by faith. That's a continual process. We walk by faith and not by sight, which means it's not something you're supposed to jump in and out of, which means that you're not supposed to see it, and then when you don't see it, you jump and walk back. It's a continual walk. And if we do these things and abide by them, that's some things that we'll see on this side of life that was for our own good, even problem circumstances. You see this happening with transformations like Peter, right? Peter, at one point in time, he wanted to see everything. He was the boldest, had the most faith in our Lord and Savior, and God had to show him, you're not who you think you are, Peter. You're not who you think. I know you said you bold, and I appreciate the fact that you wanted to cut off Malchus' ear, but that was the wrong thing to do. Now, I understand, but you don't even understand yourself. You know, when we walk by faith, it keeps us from jumping the gun with the situations. And God has a way of slowing us down from time to time. And I told somebody the other day, you know, sometime when God pauses us and slows us down, we have no clue how many detours he's kept us from going down. We have no clue how many problems he saved us from. And to us, it seems like he stopped us in our tracks and what's happening and why. Man, God is able to see those things. Just like that example I used, you're on top of the building. If I had your phone and I had your phone number and I saw that was a terrible wreck ahead and I saw you in the past and the present, I'm going to start calling you as you got to the present and say, look, make a left on First Street. There's a bad accident down there. Well, I don't see it. Well, just trust me. I can see the accident before you get there. Well, how do you, how we question God? Well, how are you able to see it? We had the audacity to question God the same way. God's not concerned about our time frame. He has some things in store for us, and he has the direction he needs us to go in. And we just have to learn to trust the instruments. I balked at it before, and I've cut those instruments off, because you can turn off autopilot in planes, right? You know, I know it's a safety measure, and sometimes they do it. But it's good to do, but, you know, somebody who's a novice at flying, they'd be an idiot to cut off autopilot. The trust that, you know, they're going to count four clouds and they're going to be in Chicago. They're going to go over a mountain range and they're going to somehow end up in Las Vegas. One mountain range now, that was Appalachian Mountains. Had nothing to do with the mountains on the West Coast and Nevada Mountains. That was Appalachian Mountains. But guess what? You land in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you say it's L.A. till you get off the plane. You didn't trust the instrument. That said, that's over 3,000 miles away. You travel 200 miles on a plane and you think you're in L.A. Don't work that way, family. So let's learn to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the simplest way to do it. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't stress about certain things you don't understand. Just learn to walk by faith and not by sight. See how blessed you are. See how that even draws you closer to God. See how you begin to stop trusting and trying to see everything in life and learn to trust the instruments, the Word of God, and its daily guidance for us Christians. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God,